Made an enemy of someone I don't know, and they are upset about something that I must have done. It really doesn't make much sense, but I've got no statement in my defense. But I know, no matter what, no matter who, no matter what I do, somebody hates me.
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 I hate somebody.
Did you misunderstand something that I did, or was there one of my jokes that you didn't kill? Do you think you got the way I think, or figured out what did I say to make you feel not cool? Now, well, I know, no matter what, no matter who.
Okay, podcast number 5. I'm going to take a little different take at it this time with the podcast. I'm going to relax a little bit. So you might hear some extra creaks or noises or things like that. That's because I'm holding the microphone this time instead of setting it on my desk and bending my neck down like some wounded pelican or something like that. But anyways, that tune was Somebody Hates Me by one of those, my favorite bands, you know, one of those Where the Hell Did They Go bands. They're called Real Big Fish. The album was called Why Do They Rock So Hard. I remember seeing those guys in concert somewhere in California sometime in the early 90s. I don't remember where, and I don't remember how I got in there or why I was even there, but pretty cool show. Too bad they're not around. I've been listening to more of that rock and ska type stuff now that I have XM radio. And speaking of stuff I listen to, I pretty much quit listening to the news. I used to listen to it every day on the way to work, every day on the way home, and I finally figured out that I was basically getting so little of the news. I mean, it's so jaded and so stupid. You just hear these headlines, and no one knows anything about anything, like this Dubai ports thing. It's so poorly researched. Nobody except people in that industry know how it works, who owns what, who does security where, you know, what the real deal is. And so I just turned it off. I've just freaking had it. So I've been listening to music on the way to and from work, and the latest thing I've been listening to is this humongous box set of Ella Fitzgerald CDs I bought. And it is one of those eye-opening things where you're listening to some music and you just go, holy crap, this is unbelievable. I think that this box set is not just some of the best, you know, female vocalist music I've ever heard, but it's got to be some of the best music ever recorded. I mean, because I know how hard it is to record just a stupid podcast like this that nobody listens to, much less huge orchestras and, you know, getting those vocals in there, you know, and mixing everything properly. It's just the sound quality is amazing. I can't believe they could get that kind of sound quality from a microphone 40 years ago. It's almost, to me, I think it's better sound quality than we have today with all this digitized vocals and, you know, where they edit out every breath or, you know, every single sound that you don't think should be there. But I think that the old style condenser type microphones are better. I mean, I think they give you a better and a warmer feel than the microphones of today. So it's kind of an eye-opening thing to listen to these CDs. And I listen to them really loud because I like to hear what's going on in the background. Once in a while, you can hear a musician set his instrument down, or you can hear Ella Fitzgerald maybe brush against her desk. I heard her tapping her foot once in the background. I rewound that like 20 times. I couldn't figure out what it was, but then I figured out it was her foot tapping. That's just really cool stuff to me. And you just get none of that now. I mean, you get some skinny, thong-wearing, you know, person that can't sing, screaming into a microphone, and a bunch of studio musicians just hacking away on some instruments in the back, and it's just terrible. So It's one of those eye-opening moments, like when I bought Sketches of Spain by Miles Davis. That was the first jazz album I bought. And I bought it on a whim. I had heard of him. I said, oh, what the hell, I'll pick this up. It was in the used CD store. Of course, that's one of the best, not just jazz recordings, but best recordings of all time. And that opened my eyes to jazz. And I never really listened to Ella Fitzgerald, but I heard her on XM Radio. I've been listening to the jazz on there. And I decided to buy, you know, not just one or two CDs, but this huge box set. And it is amazing. And in the middle of all that, listening to this Ella Fitzgerald, is this really funny, weird song. I mean, in the middle of all these classics, you know, with huge arrangements and everything, in the middle of one of these CDs is this next song I'm going to play. It's really bizarre. It was one of those things where you listen to something or see something and you kind of wrinkle your forehead and, you know, make a cockeye move with your head, like, you know, like a dog watching, you know, watching someone sit on the toilet or something. You know, just one of those weird moments where you go, you're kind of locked up. You don't know quite what to think. So anyways, I'm going to play that and see what you think of that. I really like it.
I've been married and married, and often I've sighed. I'm never a bridesmaid. I'm always the bride. I never divorced them, I hadn't the heart. Yet remember these sweet words, till death do us part. I married many men, a ton of them, because I was untrue to none of them. Because I bumped off every one of them to keep my love alive. Sir Paul was frail, he looked a wreck to me. At night he was a horse's neck to me. So I performed an appendectomy to keep my love alive. Sir Thomas had insomnia. He couldn't sleep at night. I bought a little arsenic. He's sleeping now, all right. Sir Philip played the harp. I cussed the thing. I crowned him with his harp to bust the thing. And now he plays where harps are just a thing to keep my love alive. To keep my love alive. I thought Sir George had possibilities, but his flirtations made me ill at ease. And when I'm ill at ease, I kill at ease to keep my love alive. Sir Charles came from a sanatorium and yelled for drinks in my emporium. I mixed one drink, he's in memoriam, to keep my love alive. Sir Francis was a singing bird, a nightingale, that's why. I tossed him off my balcony to see if he could fly. Sir Athelstan indulged in fratricide. He killed his dad, and that was patricide. One night I stabbed him by my mattress side to keep my love alive. To keep my love alive. To keep my love alive.
So kind of a weird deal there, to say the least. That song, like I say, was dropped in among all of these classics. And I don't know, what does she kill? Eight, eight guys in that song. Just kind of a, it was just kind of a weird moment listening to that one. But anyways, the box set is called The Complete Ella Fitzgerald Songbooks. It's a little pricey, but absolutely worth it. Like I was saying before, the sound is so crystal clear. I mean, it sounds like she's sitting right next to you, and the band is like in the back seat of your car. It's pretty amazing. And I need to go back to that. I had mentioned previously that I've been listening to more music on the way to work and the way home in lieu of news. I mean, it's not like I'm not informed. I'll get the headlines, but basically that's all I need. And an example of this would be the cartoon riots. Danish paper last year printed some cartoons that were supposedly inflammatory to Muslims. And there was these riots all over the world. And, well, actually the riots were this year. The explanation for the time delay would be, I would assume, that it took that long for whoever planned the riots, and of course they were planned to get everything organized and out there. But anyway, so here's what I have. Here's what I know. Cartoons, little time delay, riots. That's it. Everything else that is in between, above, below, on the sides, is conjecture. I can't prove it. I'm not there. I don't know if it really happened. It might have happened that way, it might not have, but, I mean, outside of those facts, cartoons, little time delay, riots, of course, and the riots are in third world backwaters for the most part. Outside of that, that's it. So, you know, I can get that on any news feed. You know, why do I need to sit and listen to Fox News for an hour every night to tell me more and more and more, like 100 times that there were cartoons, lag, riots? I mean, why do I need to, you know, why do I need to do that? What a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Most of the articles in the paper are unreadable. They're poorly written. They're poorly researched. I mean, no news. I mean, and on top of that, it doesn't really affect me. I mean, the closest riot was, you know, 5,000 miles from my house, or 10,000 maybe even. There's nothing I can do about it. There, you know, I don't really care. I mean, there's nothing I can do. I mean, you know, I can conject and wring my hands and get excited, but why do that? Why waste the time when I could be, you know, reading a good book or listening to some, you know, music that was, you know, some of the best music ever recorded, or, you know, maybe cooking dinner, you know, learning a new recipe. I'm much farther ahead learning a new recipe for veal than I am sitting in front of the TV watching two people who don't know any more than me gab about something that no one really knows anything about. Sounds stupid, right? But it's true. You know, the other instance I brought up earlier was the Dubai ports thing. Nobody knows how ports are run. I mean, I don't, unless you're in that industry. I mean, most people don't know how my industry is run. That's heating and air conditioning wholesale. Most people outside of that industry don't know. I don't know how the automobile industry is run. I mean, if you drill down and look into the facts of what the company in Dubai was buying, you know, they're buying like one terminal in, you know, out of a port of you know, millions and millions of square feet of cargo unloading capability. And they're getting like one terminal, and all of a sudden we're surrendering our ports to the Muslim menace, you know. So there you go again. You got a company buying part of a port. That's the fact. That's the headline. And the company happens to be based in UAE, which, by the way, has been very helpful in the war on terror. They've been very helpful. But besides that fact, so, you know, you got ports, you got a company based over there. That's it. You know, if you're not in the loop, that's all you know. And everything else is bullshit. You jump up and down and scream, and, oh, we're surrendering our ports to the Arabs, and, you know, on and on and on. And it just stinks. Our media just stinks. You know, the only real paper that is worth reading, you know, if you're interested in it, is the Wall Street Journal. Pretty good opinion section, you know, well written, you know, decent English. I mean, it's, you know, outside of that, you know, I'll read the local paper.
You know, at least I'll find out, you know, if a new building's going up or a new restaurant is opening. That might affect my life. But these other national stories, I've just decided to go away from it and get out of this loop. It's, you know, I'm really disappointed, actually, because I used to be really into it. I used to be really interested in politics and things like that. You know, I'm more interested in law now, but, you know, you read the story and no one researches anything. They always come at you at some goofy, stupid angle. Everyone's got an agenda reporting these stories. And you're just not very well off reading this stuff. But so anyways, I wanted to clear that up, and glad I got that off my chest. That was quite a diatribe. So on we go. Are you tired of that song? Oh, God, I sure am. Hear it all the time. You know, the Olympics are going on in Torino. It is pretty cool, though, if you catch the top of the hour when they kick it off. They always play that song, and then they have these pretty awesome helicopter flyovers, you know, over the Alps in northern Italy, which are just beautiful. I mean, beyond imagination. Northern Italy is a great place to visit if you ever want to go to Europe. Friendly people, wonderful food. My wife and I, about, oh, I don't know, 6 years ago now, or seven, went to Milan and the Mediterranean coast there on northern Italy, Portofino, all those towns around there, Bologna, had a great time. It was really awesome. But anyways, that Olympic theme is pretty cool. You know, I don't mind it, but God, they just play it all the time. But as I've been watching the Olympics, I seem to remember a couple days ago, something jogged in my head. I don't know what it was, but, you know, I used to watch a lot more sports when I was growing up. It was one of my outlets. I mean, I must have been a great kid to raise, because I basically would just sit in front of the TV and watch sports all the time. That's about all I did. And, you know, I thought that there was a different Olympic theme. So I decided to dig into it a little bit here, and that last Olympic theme that everyone is so familiar with was actually recorded in 1984. John Williams, who I think did the Star Wars soundtracks and a bunch of other stuff, recorded that one in 1984. So I decided to do a little digging, and I think I may have found the one that my memory was looking for. Let's try this. Aha, I knew there was more to it. That's that second half of that, where they kind of pick up the pace a little bit, that I remember when I was a kid, they'd always play that piece front to back, and they never play that part anymore. I don't know why they dropped that, but anyways, that piece was originally written in 1958 by a Frenchman named Leo Arnault, and it's that part of the piece is called Bugler's Dream, part of a longer piece called The Charge Suite, which I assume if we were actually in France with Leo Arnault, we would call Le Suite Charge or something like that. But in 1968, for the Grenoble Olympics, ABC said they needed a theme song, so, you know, who knows how they settle on that, but that's how they settled on it, and that's what we all know. In 1984, then, John Williams took that piece and threw it down on an orchestra and gave us what we all know today as the Olympic theme. So the piece I played that had that second part in it was actually done by the Cleveland Symphonic Winds, conducted by Frederick Fennell. I think it was the early 70s. I couldn't get a date on that. I know it was old because I had to convert it from an old RAM format into a MP3, and then I had to dink with the sampling rate because the older recordings have much different sampling rates than modern stuff, including podcasts. So I had to dink with that so it didn't sound like the Flea Circus was playing it and it would sound acceptable on this podcast. So your useless factoid of the month, the origins of the Olympic theme, and a memory jog that I got cleared up. The internet is, in fact, a wonderful thing for that sort of stuff. So anyways, it is time for me to go. I appreciate you listening to this podcast, and I will probably have another one in a month or so, and I think I will leave you with a little more of Ella for now, and take care of yourself. Bye.
It's the wrong time and the wrong place. Your face is charming, it's the wrong face. It's not his face, but such a charming face that it's all right with me. It's the wrong song in the wrong style. Though your smile is lovely, it's the wrong smile. It's not his smile, but such a lovely smile that it's all right with me. You can't know how happy I am that we met. I'm strangely attracted to you. There's someone I'm trying so hard to forget. Don't you want to forget someone too? The wrong game with the wrong chips. Though your lips are tempting, they're the wrong lips. They're not his lips, but they're such tempting lips that if some night you're free, dear, it's all right. They're the wrong.